Okay.
He's 100% on.
Well, when you get a chance, you'll close the door.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
What we began yesterday, and we want to continue with today, is the Mishnah Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, the second Mishnah on the page. And that's the Mishnah Bein Nos Lid Beis of Betzal Amecha. But in order to appreciate this Mishnah, we have to take a sneak preview of the Gemara that we finally found. Yesterday we were looking for it. We found it on Daf Mem Amud Aleph. So you'll turn to Daf Mem Amud Aleph, although don't lose the place on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, because we need to coordinate those two. And hopefully we'll be able to analyze the Mishnah in the light of this Gemara. Now, where are we on Daf Mem Amud Aleph? There are many different parts of this Daf that are part of a unit, a sugya. And that sugya really starts with Tana Rabbanan, which you'll see, I would say it's about two-thirds or a little bit less down from the top. If you see a Tosfos on your side, L'motzei Shabbos, so you would count up at about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines. And the last abbreviation in the line is Tana Rabbanan.
Merchat.
Yeah, that's the brice of the Merchat Shepokaku Nekov of Merv Shabbos. And this is basically a brice that addresses the issue of guaranteeing that the merchatz, that this bathhouse, is not really operating on Shabbos itself. In other words, you can't set up a process in which people are using the merchatz while the fire is going. Why? Because in case the fire starts dying down, there's going to be a famous gzeira that we're very familiar with called Shema Yechata B'Gecholim. So in order to guarantee that they won't turn up the fire because they want to make sure the water is absolutely hot while they're bathing, Chazal required that they close the faucet, so to speak, the pipelines are closed on Erev Shabbos, meaning no new water is coming in. So everybody knows that when they take the bath, whatever was heated on Erev Shabbos, that's what they can enjoy. But there's no fire going on, there's no new waters going on, and they're not going to come to be mechate v'gecholah. Now, all this was fine and dandy until a certain moment in history, a certain period of time. And that period of time is called, which you'll see if you drop down in the Brice about 5-6 lines, it's called Misharabu Ovrei Avera. Now, what is this concept called, Misharabu Ovrei Avera? The Gemara itself questions what that means. Literally, it translates that a lot of people were violating the law, and therefore they, Chachamim, were going to prohibit this kind of a bathing process, even if they would close off the Pakaku Nekovav, even if they would close off the openings. And the Gemara asks, my Ovrei Avera, what are these violators, what are they guilty of? And we're going to read this Gemara literally, but the Rashba insists that we can't take this Gemara literally. The Amar Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapara. And now if you're looking, we're about, I would say, 10 lines up from the bottom of the page. B'tchila hayrochatzin b'chamin shehuchmu me'erev Shabbos. In the first period of time, everything was going smoothly. People were bathing in the water. The water was heated up on Erev Shabbos. There was no new source of heat that was entering into the bath on Shabbos itself. And everything was going well. Until something changed. Hischilu ha-balonim l'hachem b'Shabbos. The balonim, who were in charge of the bathhouses, they were the ones who provided all the services, made sure there were towels for people to dry up, made sure that the water was clean, made sure that the water was hot. These were called the balonim. I'm curious to know how Art Scroll translates the word balonim. Do you have that, David?
The attendants,
okay. The bath attendants, bathhouse attendants, okay, we'll call it that. And what they began to do is they began to heat up the water on Shabbos, meaning they were under such pressure to earn their keep, and people complaining the water wasn't hot enough, they started to heat the fire on Shabbos. The Omrim, and then they would claim, Me'erev Shabbos Huchmu. they would fabricate and could try to claim that the waters were heated up on Erev Shabbos. So now Chazal realized that the bathing in hot water on Shabbos is a problem. Even if we close off all the new water that's coming in, and we tell everybody, look, whatever water is in the bathhouse and whatever level of heat, that's it. But the Balonim are still under pressure, they're under the gun, so to speak, and they will, and they, Misha Rabu means they, it became quite common that they would lie to us and tell us that they heated up an Erev Shabbos, when really they were tampering with the fire on Shabbos itself. As I mentioned to you before, that's the literal translation of this Gemara. The Rajba is completely upset about this. The Gemara says in Gittin that Lo chashud l'Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael are not suspect to violate the Shabbos. To turn on the fire deliberately would be an absolute violation of the Shabbos. Now maybe today things are a little different, but back in the day, this was not... So he says that what is going on here with these balonim? And the answer is that if you remember, we required that the nekovim, pokekim es hanekovim, they would have to close these openings where the heat would come in before Shabbos. And they refused, they didn't do so. They would allow the heat to continue into these pukim, into these openings on Shabbos. So the process of hot coals heating up the water would continue into Shabbos as the people are bathing. And that's prohibited. Because as we said in the outset, to have the fire heat up the water while they're bathing, even though the fire was lit when? On Erev Shabbos, that we're not going to allow. That's already the Shema Yechata V'Gecholim. So as a result of this illegality that became quite common amongst the Balonim, what did the Chachamim do? Asru Es Hachamen. Wow. Asru Es Hachamen. It sounds like...
No, they doesn't could, say that. Just,
oh, you don't have Asur Es Hachamen?
No, Asur Es Hazer.
Up higher.
A little bit higher up, maybe.
Two lines up.
Let's see where we are. Oh. If you're counting up from the bottom, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom of the page. Again, I can't tell you in your Tzuras Adaf. Asur Es Hachamen, which means that they prohibited bathing in the hot water, even though when was the water heated up? On Erev Shabbos. Now the question we're going to raise in just a minute, but let me not confuse you or myself, is that when we say Asur Es Hachamen Shehuchmu Erev Shabbos, do we mean that's an absolute Issur that includes all Rechitza, even partial Rechitza, which means you put in your Yadayim, your Aglayim, you know, you do it limb by limb? And does it mean that you're not allowed to benefit from the hot water at all, even if, let's say, it was water that was drinkable and you want to use it for a cup of tea? In any event, in the initial stage, when there was heat, there was heat, there was hot air, I guess you'd say, in this bathhouse, people would come in, we call it in Yiddish a Schwitzbad, and that's called in the Gemara's language, Zeah. You know, people used to like to sweat. And that they would allow, because here there wasn't a great fear that maybe they would tamper with that, but Adayin Hayurochtzin Bechamin. Once they allowed Zeah, people were tempted to jump into the water. Right after you take an hour of schwitzing, you know, you want to jump into the bath. So they felt that if they were going to allow Zeah, they would allow you to use it as a schwitz, then before you know it, you're going to start bathing in it. The Omrim, and they would say when people saw them going into the bathhouse, Mizim Anachnu, we're not washing, we're not bathing ourselves, we're just sweating. Is therefore Asru Lahem Es Hazer. At this point, they prohibited even using the bathhouse for schwitzing, because one thing would lead to another. They would actually bathe, and then they would say, no, we're only going in there for Zeah. But at this point, Hitiru Chamei Tveria. What they did allow was for people to bathe in the hot springs of Tveria, because here the assumption was there would be no need to heat up the water. The water is naturally hot. But if a dayan hoy roptzim b'chami or if he omer b'chami tverach atznav, sometimes I guess because of the location of these bathhouses, they would go into the bath itself, which was heated up on Erev Shabbos by fire, and they would claim, "No, we went into the springs." Is therefore asru lehem. Chacham went the full 9 yards, as we say, all inclusive isur, even chami tver v'hi tivu lehem esatzonim. Now this was a very serious situation for the Jews who were so used to bathing in the hot baths, and now you're telling them they can't even go into the Chami Tveria, the springs of Tveria, and the only thing they're allowed to do is wash themselves in cold water. That didn't last very long. Ro, the Chachom realized she'ein adover omid lehem. And this is what we call the principle of Gzeir She'ein Atzim Yicholim Lamod. But sometimes the Rabbanon go a little bit further, and in their zealous, meticulous concern and nervous tension about violating the Issa, they give an absolute prohibition to such extent. Like, for example, Gemara says of Avodah Zarah, I don't know if you know this, initially we were not allowed to buy oil that was produced by Goyim. We had to have Jewish zaysim, you know, a gat zaysim. And there were many other gzeros which the Chachom instituted to keep us away from the Goyim, and they just didn't keep up. Even Gvina Sakum, the question of cheeses, at some point was questionable whether the Jews were able to abstain from buying, you know, from buying cheeses and only buying Jewish cheeses. So that's the sugi over there at the end of Avodah Zarah called Gzeir Shein Atzim V'Yichol Lamod. But here it applies in Perikira to the Iser that prohibits Minarabbanan, of course, bathing in the hot springs of Tveria. That far the Chacham couldn't go. This is what you call the system of checks and balances. V'tiru lahem chami Tveria. They permitted bathing in Chami Tveria, and then it says Vizeya Bimkom Omitz. But as far as the original Gzeira that prohibited not just bathing but even sweating, that remained in its original place. That the people were able to tolerate, they would postpone their Rechitza and their Zeya until Sunday, you know, that they could survive. But to prohibit everything on Shabbos and say that for a full day they can't go into even the hot springs, where really technically there's no problem, just that we might find that if they go in there to wash in the springs, they might jump into the bath and say that no, we only went into the springs. That they had to allow, they had to permit, but bathing in the baths itself was prohibited. And now, Rabbosai, what we have to do is go back to our Mishnah, and we have to sort of analyze that Mishnah in the light of what we see here. Because everything that's being discussed on Daf Mem, as we saw it before, is with regard to water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos. Now, our Mishnah addresses a different issue, and that is water that was heated up on Shabbos. And when the Chachamim were upset about Hatmana, which means that the Anshei Tveria would put the Silon, this pipe of cold water, and submerge it in the Chami Tveria to allow the Chami Tveria to heat up the water inside, and the Chachamim would not allow such a thing. Again, even though, when did they set up the Silon Shel Tzonenim? On Erev Shabbos. They didn't do it on Shabbos. And yet it was Hatmana on Erev Shabbos, and the Chachamim prohibited it. And when the Chachamim prohibited it, they did so because of the Isra Hatmana, because this water, this cold water, is completely submerged in hot water, it's surrounded by hot water. And here we have the statement of Rav Chisda, which I'd like to reiterate and see a second time. Let's review it by looking on Daf Lamentesam and Aleph, all the way in the bottom of Rav Chisda, and now we're turning to Daf Lamentesam and Beis. Mi Maisa Sha'asu Anshei Tveri V'asru Luhu Rabbanon Batla. If you remember that Rashi interprets the word Batla to mean Asra or Nesra Hatmana V'Dorish and Mosif Heva V'Afilu Mivod Yom. So now, Rav Chisda says, now we see from the Chachamim's objection to the Anshei Tveria that Hatmana, when you submerge something cold and it's surrounded by heat, that's prohibited. Even if you set it up on Erev Shabbos. Why? Because it's Mosif Hevel, it gets hotter and hotter over the course of Shabbos. We're not going to allow that process to begin on Erev Shabbos when it continues to heat and the heat becomes more intense on Shabbos itself. That's why the Chachamim objected to the Anshei Tver, because they were in violation of the Iser Hatmana. And we're going to see later on that the Gemara is going to defend the Anshei Tver, why they did such a thing. But be that as it may, as far as learning our Mishnah is concerned, we don't find in our Mishnah that there's any debate about it. The Anshei Tver did that, what they did, the Chachamim objected. And the part that we want to focus our attention is that when the Chachamim said that violating the Iser Hatmana is going to have repercussions, in which case you're not allowed to enjoy the heat, the hot water that was heated up in this process that began on Erev Shabbos, they compared it to Machamin Shehuchmu B'Shabbos. So again, let's just emphasize this following distinction. Adaf Mem, with regard to the sugya of Misha Rabu Ha'avar Yonim, we're talking about water that was heated on Erev Shabbos. So when I go into this bath on Shabbos, I'm going into water that was heated on Erev Shabbos. But nevertheless, the Chachamim prohibited it. And why? Because of the Gzeres HaBalonim, we were afraid about the possibility that the Balonim might tamper with the fire on Shabbos. So that's Mayim Shehuchmu B'Erev Shabbos. The Gemara now goes a step further and says that in terms of a violation of the Iser Hatmana, we're going to prohibit the water that was heated up through this process of Hatmana, that's the Anshei Tveria process, and equate it to Chmayim Shehuchmu B'Shabbos. And here's the point. When we compare it and equate it to Mayim Shehuchmu B'Shabbos, we're getting into the sugya of Maisa Shabbos, which we learned on Daf Lam and Ches Amud Aleph. And if you recall, in the case of Maisa Shabbos, where there was an Iser that was violated in order to cook something or heat some water up on Shabbos, the product of that cooking, of that violation, or that boiling of the water, is completely awesome. As we said yesterday, if you remember, it's a Chefta D'Isura. And you're not allowed to drink it, you're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to bathe in it. It's an absolute all-encompassing Iser Hana. So I'm going to ask you a very strange question now. You're telling me that the Anshei Tveria, because they violated the Iser Hatmana, are enjoined from any sort of benefit from this water as if they had cooked on Shabbos. And without understanding why, I have a question for you. What about the Gzeres Merchatzos, the Misharabu HaVaryonim, that the Gemara presents on Daf Mem? What do I mean to say? L'chora, what I'm about to tell you is absolutely ridiculous. Okay, and I'm going to tell you why it's ridiculous, and then I'm going to tell you why it's not ridiculous. And I'm not just draining you a cup and wasting your time. What seems to be ridiculous is to present an overlap of two different Isurim. To say that on the one hand, this water that was heated up by the Anshei Tveria in violation of the Iser Hatmana is Kemayim Shehuchmu B'Shabbos, and at the same time, overlapping with the Iser of Merchatzos, that any sort of benefit from this water comes under the Gzera of Misharabu HaVaryon. Now, why is that ridiculous? Because I never have to add something onto something else if it doesn't add anything. You follow my point? If you want to, what's the word I'm looking for if you want to transplant or graft, oh, that's the word. You want to graft the Iser Merchatzos onto the Iser of Kemayim Shehuchmu B'Shabbos, You're not adding anything.
It's already osur.
It's osur. Not only is it osur, it's an absolute isur chefta with regard to any sort of benefits you want to gain from it. And therefore, rechitza is absolutely forbidden. You're not allowed to even dip your feet into the water. Why? Because it's heated up illegally on Shabbos as a result of the Hatmana process that you set into motion on Erev Shabbos. And therefore, Hatmana on Erev Shabbos, in violation of the Isur Hatmana, is upgraded to the level of Mayim Shehuchmu B'Shabbos, as if they had cooked the water on Shabbos. That's what it says in our Mishnah. No, if it's as if they cooked the water on Shabbos, I don't have to add any sort of gzeira of merchitzos and say, well, you know what, you can't bathe in this water because all bathing in hot water has been prohibited by virtue of gzeira, with the exception that the Rabbanan had to rescind and backtrack in the case of Chami Tveri. So why b'chol zot? Why am I still insisting that there is an overlap here? That not only do we apply the din of Maisa Shabbos kemayim shehuchmu b'Shabbos, but we also have a problem of misharabu avaryonim and gzeiras merchitzos.
I think what we're seeing is perhaps a parallel between shehiya aleph shehiya bet. Shehiya is only a problem if I leave it after Shabbos. Hatmana lifnei Shabbos is only a problem if that continues into Shabbos. So just like we had a gezeira over there because people were saying it really didn't happen, Erev Shabbos really wasn't. So to here, it's like, I think it's an aleph and a bet process that makes it.
But what I'm asking you, Ben, is my nafkimina. What do you add halacha l'maisa by being malbish? I don't know how to say this in English. If you can help me out, halbish meaning when you graft something on top of something else. I'm looking for a word which I don't have, but in Hebrew it's called lahalbish. You have a basic iser here. The basic iser is formulated thusly in the following equation: violation of hatmana and erev Shabbos equals mayim shehuchmu b'Shabbos. And Mayim Shehuchmu B'Shabbos equals Maisa Shabbos, which means it's Asur B'Anon. Now you're going to be Malbish on top of it, the Gzera of Misharabu Avaryonim, and say, well, you're not allowed to bathe in this water. What do you mean you're not allowed to bathe in this water? Of course I can't bathe in this water. It's Maisa Shabbos. A person heats up water on Shabbos. Again, here he didn't do so. He violated Isur Hatmana and Erev Shabbos. But the Mishnah establishes that it has the same status as Mayim Shehuchmu B'Shabbos. So the mayim is osur b'anon. I can't drink it, I can't bathe in it, I can't do anything with that water. So why are you telling me, well, you know what, there's a bathing problem on Shabbos in hot water. You're not allowed to bathe in hot water on Shabbos. Well, what do you gain by that? What nafkamita does it have?
Maybe immediately after Havdalah, I can't go into it either because I have to wait a myriad of time for it to have been heated up.
But that, Joel, is true with a kal v'chomer ben benoshal kal v'chomer once you have Maisa Shabbos. Again, if we're classifying the violation of Hatmana as if he cooked water on Shabbos, we're not going to wait till Kadesha Yasa. When do we wait Kadesha Yasa? That's in a case where, like for example, we spoke about Shehiya b'shogeg, you know, he shachach v'shah, he forgot about it, and he didn't do it deliberately, and therefore we're going to allow it after Kadesha Yasa. But in our case, we're talking about Mayim Shehuchmu B'Shabbos. Mayim Shehuchmu B'Shabbos are also Liola. The only issue is going to be whether other people are allowed to use it and so forth. But certainly for him, it's also Liola. Well, actually, you have to add the Chaf. You're right, Ben, because let's see, in the Mishnah's language, it says, Omelem Chachomim in B'Shabbos. If you're talking about enjoying the benefit of this hot water on Shabbos, is kemayim kechamin shehuchmu b'Shabbos kechamin. Again, I obviously have to add the chaf, as you point out very well, because they didn't heat up the water on Shabbos. They set up this system of the silon on erev Shabbos. But the chachamim was so harsh with them and so strict that they upgraded it to a very serious violation, keilu as if they had heated up water on Shabbos, and therefore asurim berachitza ubishtia. So, for example, if you would ask me on Daf Mem, you know, what's the scope of the Isa on Daf Mem when the Rabu Avaryonim and the Balonim were playing games with us and so forth and so on, what did they say about these Mechitzos? And you would argue that's only an Isra Chitza, it's nothing to do with Shtia. I could grant you that premise. Our Mishnah is adding an Isra Shtia. Why? Because Kimayin Shehuchmu B'Shabbos. If we're elevating it to the status of Mayin Shehuchmu B'Shabbos, then if you eat water on Shabbos, you're not allowed to drink that water. So therefore, Shtia is also awesome. But now I'm asking the opposite question. Let's flip it around the other way. Now that you've upgraded it, and you were so severe and strict with it, that you gave it the status of Mayin Shehuchmu B'Shabbos, why should you bother adding to boot the Iser of Misharabu HaVaryonim of bathing in a hot bath on Shabbos? What are you adding here? I can't bathe in this water anyway because it's also Bahana. I can't have any benefit whatsoever. So I wanted to share with you a line here that I found after much search in my favorite sefer called Hare Kedem. And I'm going to read to you one line which I thought was an eye-opener. And I'll tell you where to find it. He has it on page Kuf Chaf Hey, if you want to make a note of it. And he says the following. He says, Ma din b'shehuchmu al yidei akum litzorech akum. Now watch what's going on. If a guy heats up water for a Jew, that's awesome. But here's a case where the guy heats up water for himself or for another guy. He didn't do it for a Jew. If he heated up the water, he boiled the water for a Jew, that's called Maisa Shabbos. That's included in the general violation of Maisa Shabbos. But here, he says, what happens if he heated up for a guy? He says, Midin Maisa Shabbos, b'chai gavna, mayim mutar. If it was only Midin Maisa Shabbos, since the guy cooked it for another guy, then you'd be allowed to enjoy the water. Ach mikeva sheyesh hach gzera lesar chamin shehuchmu b'Shabbos im kein gam b'chai gavna he masurin. This is pretty wild. He wants to say, and I don't know how he knows this yet, you know, we have to see. Again, there's a long, long presentation here, but I just want to show you that he says that it could be that if the water was heated up by a guy, then this comes under the Iser of Rechitza that was specifically ordained, or shall I say established, because of Misharabu HaVaryonim. Meaning, although the HaVaryonim that they were concerned with on Daf Mem were the Balonim, who were Jews, but nevertheless, once they prohibited Rechitza B'chamin, it means that you're not allowed to bathe in hot water on Shabbos, period. Who heated up the water? Irrelevant. If we're dealing with our Mishnah, and our Mishnah is saying that you guys, you Anshei Tver, you violated the Isra Atmana, and therefore we're going to be harsh with you, and we're going to impose upon you an Isra Kimayin Shukmu B'Shabbos, it's Maisa Shabbos, but that only makes sense and applies if it was a Jew who did the Atmana. He was responsible for heating up the water. But if a guy would heat up the water, that would not be awesome. But when it comes to this Gzeirah of Misharabu HaVaryonim, there was an absolute all-encompassing Isra Rechitza that says that all hot water, as far as Rechitza is concerned, is prohibited. Now we get to the second question. Well, if this Misharabu HaVaryonim, and Rabosai, why is this so strange? And we're learning a Mishnah on Daf Lamed Ches, and we're interpreting this Mishnah in light of a Sugya on Daf Mem. So if I wasn't here, and you guys were on your own, or if I was on my own without this guide, I would be in trouble because I wouldn't realize that I'm only seeing part of the picture here when I read the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis. What part of the Mishnah am I seeing? I'm seeing that if there's a violation of Hatmana, as Rav Chisda derived from the response of the Chacham to the Anshei Tveria, then it's Kemayim Shehuchmu Shabbos. We're going to give it a din of Maisa Shabbos. Little do I know, a sugya daf mem that because of the malonim and all the shtick that they were pulling over there, the final shtick we call it, you know, they weren't up on the up and up, the Rabbanan instituted an absolute all-encompassing Isur Achitza Mayim Cham, with the only exception of Chami Tveri. I don't know that. But then I would ask myself the question, okay, so I don't know it. What do I have to know it for? And anyway, it's Maisa Shabbos. The answer is that paradoxically, it's almost counterintuitive, Maisa Shabbos, which is so chamur, it's a Chefta Nisura, is nevertheless more limited and more restricted than the Gzera of Misha Avru HaVaryon, Misha Rabu HaVaryon. Because as far as the Isur of Misha of Mayim Shehuchmu B'Shabbos, meaning Maisa Shabbos is concerned, there's a condition. And that condition is, it's got to have been heated up by whom?
Jews.
By a Jew. But if it's heated up by a guy, then there's no Maisa Shabbos. Mm-hmm. You have to add another condition, another proviso. It was heated up by the guy for the sake of a guy. Fun. Now, I'm a smart Alec. Why am I so smart? Because I have this Sugyan Daf Mem, and the Sugyan Daf Mem tells me that the Rabbanan instituted a Gzeira of Isur Rechitza. Rechitza is a special category because as a result of these bathhouses and the people running them, there was a lot of hanky-panky, a lot of violation of Shabbos. So Rabbanan made a blanket Isur prohibiting any sort of Rechitza Vecham. And now, even if a guy would heat up the water, Rav Soloveitchik claims, I would still be enjoined from taking a bath in that water. And then I ask myself the following question, well, how far does this go? What if I pass by a non-Jewish person who's heating up water for tea on Shabbos? And I come over to John Paul Jones and I say to him, or to Muhammad, right? To more, maybe that's more relevant and more common here. And I say, Muhammad, can I? Do you have any extra water here that you heated up that I want to use for my tea? Take it. So that should be mutter. Would it be mutter? Because now we have the gzera of Misharavu Afaryanim, in which case we prohibited the hot water on Shabbos. Now, how far did the Rabbanan go with this hot water on Shabbos? Did they prohibit it only berachitza? Bathing was prohibited, because again, all the problems arose because of the bathing. Or did they prohibit it even as far as shtiyah is concerned? As far as drinking? Which would be really an amazing conclusion, that you're not allowed to drink hot water that was heated up by a guy for the sake of a guy. And again, if we go back to Daf Mem, I don't see that the Gemara addresses this question. We'll just very quickly review it. The Gemara says, "My over avera, Rav Shimon ben Pasi, etc. Tchilo irochtim b'mayim chamim, hischilu abalonim, etc., etc."
Rashi says the gamri completely. Also the hemeth achamim the gamri.
Yeah, maybe Rashi's legamri means even as far as shtiyah is concerned. What I'm going to look up here, I have in this Gemara a beer on Rashi. I don't know if I'll find anything, but you never know. Sometimes he comes in the clutch. We're on Daf Mem. I don't know. I thought he would maybe find this Rashi. Asur lehem es achamin legamre. So far, unfortunately, I don't see it. Let's see. Asur lehem chachamim. I don't know. I can't tell you anything, but what I can tell you is that he tells a story here. I always like stories. Maisa hayu bePeterburg. Okay, so in St. Petersburg, probably 100 years ago or more, v'nizdanu marna grachzal umarnar samech lefundak echad. Reb Meir Simcha Mitvinsk and Reb Chaim of Brisk were together in the same inn, on Shabbos in St. Petersburg. Okay? I think now they call it St. Petersburg again. For a long time they called it Leningrad. I was in that city once. Have you ever been? You know, I was there under the communists. Lucky I got out alive.
I bet you they had some...
Of course, they confiscated all the good stuff I brought for the Jews.
They had some hot water problems, those
two gentlemen. Oh, so here's the hot water problem. Chivimu ha-goyim mayim b'shabes l'tzorch atzmon v'ar-samech rotzol ha-hatir samayim l'shtir. The goyim heated up water for themselves on Shabbos, and Rav Meir Simcha said, well, why can't we use this water for drinking purposes? The whole gzera here on Daf Mem is all about rechitza. Umar nagrach pikpek bazen. Pikpek bazen means he has hesitations. He was very inhibited. He did not want to drink the water. V'taimo, what was the reason, what was the logic of Rav Chaim? Nira, this is Rav Soloveitchik, the grandson, trying to figure out why his grandfather didn't want to drink the water. The sphere later of Chaim, the hadamayim shehuchmu b'shabes asur b'shtira, ain't a mishum ma'isa shabes, mishum isur mevashel or isur atmona, elahu gzera miuchedes. Wow. The asur bein berachitza bein b'shtira. V'hu b'chlal gzeres merchetzos, mishum rabu ovrei aviv. I don't know, I'd love to see one of the poskim who say so. Maybe we could look at the Mishnah Berurah here. Dr. Joel, would you mind opening up the Mishnah Berurah? Let's just see if we can possibly find anything.
Which is it?
Okay, so let me just see if he tells you where it is. It should be in Siman Shin Chav Vav, but I'm not 100% sure. Shin Chav Vav. Let's see if we find anything there. Is there another Mishnah Berurah here? So you could look and I could look simultaneously.
One or two.
Yeah. Thanks. He says, Asru lirchotz kol gufo afil kol ever levad afil b'mayim shuchmu mi'erev Shabbos. So far all I see in this halacha of the mechaber is rechitza. And the Mishnah Berurah says, why do they prohibit rechitza on Shabbos in hot water? They might come to heat up the water on Shabbos. He doesn't say anything about shtir.
You don't want to get in trouble with
I don't know. I doubt if he was aware of this story in Petersburg. Yeshin Chavav Sif Aleph. Sometimes he has footnotes there in that volume, in that edition. I don't know. So Rav Osa, I'm very perplexed about this. To say that because of this gzera, we should prohibit even shtia. Let's go back to Daf Lamed Tes again. You know, I'm jumping around here from Daf Mem back to Daf Lamed Tes. And on the top of Lamed Tes Amid Beis, we have the statement of Rav Chisda, correct? And what does Rav Chisda say? Mimaisa sha'asu anshei Tveri, v'asri lem rabbonim, botla atmona b'dover ha-mosif hevel, afilu mib'od yom.
It says mutarim b'shtia, the other sif gimel. It's not the same distance, right? It's mashma that everything before, I think, was us initially.
That's a good yontif question. Yeah. So I'm going to leave yontif out because that requires a whole new study. Now, this is interesting because the Gemara establishes that even though the water was heated on Erev Shabbos, nevertheless, Rechitza B'mayim Chamin is prohibited. And that means Afilu Panav Yod V'Rad. Then the Gemara says, Omer Av Chizda, take a look at the third of the wide lines on Lamed Tes Amud Beis. So again, this is another statement of Chizda. We had the first statement of Chizda, now we have statement number two. Machlokes Bikli. Let's try to understand what this means. Machlokes Bikli. In other words, the question of whether or not you're allowed to bathe in hot water that was heated on Erev Shabbos, that's only when they used to wash themselves in a basin. Or if you have a better word for it, I'll be open to any other. A sink. A sink that the whole body could go into, right?
Yeah.
What would that be called?
Bathtub?
I'm afraid of the bathtub is not good because I need something that's not attached to the ground. We're talking about a portable bathtub. I called it a basin, but I mean to say this gigantic barrel, if you know what I'm saying. No, they
used to. Pilot.
A pilot, it's called?
No, in Hebrew, it's a word for a basin. Pilot.
Oh. But anyway, what we're talking about is they used to actually put water into this utensil, a gigantic utensil, and then they would wash themselves in that utensil. I think if I remember the old Western movies,
yeah, we used to see,
no?
Yeah, the Cowboys.
The Cowboys, yeah? No, I think so. I don't know. But I don't know what the word for it is in English. But anyway,
it's first John Wayne.
John Wayne, before. So this is a clue. And here there's a very serious possibility that it's possible to put the fire underneath this clue and heat up the water, and therefore, you know, we're gonna. If people are bathing in this large kli, we have to be afraid of turning on the fire. Avol bekarka, but what about our bathtubs and our bathhouses? These baths are in the ground itself. Is divrei hakol mutter? Rav Chizda wants to suggest that in that case it's mutter and you could wash yourself in there. And why is that so? So he says, Sha'af shahuchmu bi'ar, even though you used fire to heat up the water in the bath, but that was done on Erev Shabbos. And derech hachamin b'karka lishmar chomo yom o yomayim, as opposed to a kli, where in order to keep the water hot inside this utensil, you have to constantly feed it with some sort of source of heat. In the case of these merchetzos, these gigantic bathtubs, you know, that were in the ground itself, they could retain the heat for days, and therefore there was no fear that he might come to heat up the water on Shabbos itself. So again, let's just review. According to Rav Chizda, if you're taking a bath in a hot water in a kli, then we have to be afraid that even though the water was heated up before Shabbos, you might come to heat it up on Shabbos. But if the water was heated up in these baths that are in the ground themselves, you know, the old Roman baths, then the heat is retained. You know, you could heat it up on Thursday and it'll remain hot Friday and Shabbos. You don't have to assume he's going to heat it up. So the Gemara says, I don't get it. Well, Maisa, the Anshei Tveria, what was the case of Anshei Tveria? They took the pipe and they ran it underneath the Chamei Tveria in such a way that it would heat up the water in the pipe on Shabbos. Are we talking about a kli? The Chachamim said you're not allowed to use that water that was heated up inside the pipe, right?
They made it analogous to a hatmana.
Yeah, right. We were saying it's called hatmana, and therefore they violated that Iser. But again, what are we talking about? The water came through this pipe and went into the karka, went into a bath. The Asrulei Rabbanan. The Rabbanan said you're not allowed to bathe in that water. Obviously it means that even with regard to water that's in karka. Nevertheless, you're not allowed to bathe. So this is against Rav Chisda.
But aren't the two scenarios different enough you can't really compare them?
Why do you say they're different?
One is Hakmana, Erev Shabbos, and the other one is the possibility of cooking on Shabbos from a process that started before Shabbos, but not as one, right? Was it? It seems like they're two different scenarios, unless I'm misunderstanding the two different.
Oh, so one second. So, in the case where they violated Hakmana, then we should ask her even Bekarka. But if the water was heated up on Erev Shabbos, then we're not going to assume that he's going to heat up, tamper with the fire in order to heat up the bath that was already heated on Erev Shabbos. In the case of Atmana, the Rabbanim gave it a status of water that was heated on Shabbos. Is that your question, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like scenarios is too different enough to make a.
So I think if you take a look at Tosfos, Dibur Maskel V'ha Maisel D'Anshei Tveria, D'Anshei Tveria Karka Havi V'Asri Lehu. Okay, let's just go through at least some part of this Tosfos.
Sorry, where are we now? Where's that Tosfos?
We're now on the bottom of Daf Lamed Tes Amid Beis, the next to the last Tosfos, Dibur Maskel V'ha. Hiksha Harav Rabbi Eliezer B'mitz. Okay, this is one of the Balei HaTosfos. He's otherwise known by a different name, the Urayim, because he wrote a book called the Sefer HaYurayim. My part, I don't understand what the Gemara has as a kashir against Rav Chisda. Hasam Huchmu B'Shabbos. In other words, when they ran this pipe underneath the Chamei Tveria on Erev Shabbos, the water was heated up on Shabbos itself. Kiriktani, and that's why the Chachom was so strict about it, and they asked it kechamei shehuchmu b'Shabbos. In other words, since, again, they didn't actively heat up the water on Shabbos because they attached this sinar, the silon, on Erev Shabbos, but the water was actually being heated up on Shabbos itself. But huchmu b'Erev Shabbos, but if the water had been heated up before Shabbos, like in the case of the Merchatzos, shari, the menachinami would be mutter. Again, if it's in karka. V'hacha, v'huchmu me'erev Shabbos, please. Now, there's this whole discussion that we have here about whether or not you're allowed to benefit from the water that was heated here, because the actual process of heating up this bath took place on Erev Shabbos. Whereas in the case, when was the water hot? Oh, let's just summarize from Blessed Mimitz's question the following way. In the case of Rav Chisda, when he was debating back and forth about taking a bath in hot water and not taking a bath in hot water, when was that hot water heated up?
Seemingly Erev Shabbos.
But in the case of the Anshei Tveria, there the water was being heated up on Shabbos itself, because new cold water was coming into the pipe during Shabbos. That was the whole point of this exercise. So Blessed Mimetz says the following, that Enochinami Rav Chisda is right. You're allowed to take a bath in Karka if the water was heated on Erev Shabbos, but the Anshei Tveria are talking about something else. There the Chachamim were opposed to the fact that the water was being heated up on Shabbos itself. So I want to fast forward for a moment to, where is Verdun? Where is he? Just 1 second. All right, let's just read it straight. And he says the following, Mefarish HaRav Rav Yosef.
Where is that?
It's in the end of the second line.
In the Tosfot.
End of the second line.
Get my bearings here.
So again, we're on Lamed Tes Amid Beis, and we were looking at the Kasha Reb Elezer Mimetz, quoted by Tosfos Divrei Maaseh Maha Maisa, the second to last Tosfos on the page. Now, Rabosai, let's take a look for a moment at Rashi. Rashi Aval Bekarka. It's about four lines up from the bottom. Lamentesim and Beis. Rashi says, Kigon Ambatoos Shomer Chatzos Behem Chamit Chame Ha'or Mutter Debatle Lehu Mitoras Cham. Can you unwind those words?
Batle here also means Asur, like he did earlier?
No. No, he's trying to say, what do you mean by Asur? He's
no, before we said Batle was similar to Asur, he in a different context.
Oh.
Not the same.
No, not the same, because again, Rashi here is trying to justify
it. It's no longer an Iser Chazara, because it's no longer Biyado, and it's Agave Kark.
But what does Rashi mean when he says, Batlu Mitoras Chamin? I have a little gimel over here. Do you have that gimel? And he says,
that's out of the getter of
Nira Dieshlo Sif Gzeras Chamin. I don't know. He wants to change it to Gzeras Chamin. But Rashi says, Batluhu Toras Chamin. And why is that? Because it's in the Karka. Does that answer of Elozim Yemetz's Kasha? I'm just trying to think if Rashi is avoiding the Kasha of Elozim Yemetz. Let's go over. Rabbi Elozim Yemetz was saying, well, what kind of objection does the Gemara have from the story in the Anshei Tveria? Maybe Enochinami, it would be Mutter, but the only problem with Anshei Tveria is that the heating process took place on Shabbos. Well, Rashi's saying something totally different. Rashi's saying that according to Rav Chisda's logic, why is Karka different? And the answer is because it's Batluhu Mitoras Chamin. It's not called Chamin, for whatever reason. And if that be the case, then what do we do with Anshei Tveria? Because Anshei Tveria says it is called Chamin, even though it's in Karka. In other words, when they took the Silon, and the water, as we said before, was drawn, the cold water was drawn into the Chamin Tveria, and then they filled up an Ambatya, the water in that abatia does not have the status of chamin, Rashi says. And why? Because it's in karka. Anything that's in karka is not called chamin. And the Gemara says, so why then did the Anshei Tveria object to the fact that they had violated Hatmona? Now they wanted to take a bath in something that's not called chamin. If it's in a kli, then it's called chamin. And Chamin is also on Shabbos. You're not allowed to wash and bathe yourself in Chamin. Now let's take a look at the top Tosfos here on Daf Lamed Tesam in Beis. The Gemara says that Atmona Mibodyon B'Dover Shem Mosif Hevel is Asur, and that we see from the Ma'is of Anshei Tveri. Even Tomar Mat Tzarech LeMelech Mimaisa De Anshei Tveri. Is this the only source in Shas for the Iser of Hatmona? Hamas Nisani. We have later on an explicit Mishnah that prohibits Hatmona. Ein Tomnin B'Dovish and Mosef Hevel. It can't be more explicit than that. The Perek Bamet Tomnin Dafem Zayinam and Beis. Umi Bod Yomayri. And the Iser Hatmona that's formulated by that Mishnah is talking on Erev Shabbos. If it already been dark, is afilu b'davisha eno mosif hevel also. Or Rabosei, this we have to write this down. I mean, this has to be up there on the scorecard. There's a fundamental difference, says Tosis, between a davar mosif hevel and a davar she'eno mosif hevel. In both cases, Atman is also, but in the case of mosif hevel, it's also even on erev Shabbos to set up this Atmana. On Shabbos itself, the only Atmanah that's prohibited is a Dovar. Just one second. If it's Ein Tomnim Dovar Shem Mosif Hevel, he says on Erev Shabbos. Ubi Vod Yom Ayri Dimishach HaShecha there's an Isur of Hatmana straight across the board. So again, Hatmana on Erev Shabbos is also only if what? It's a Dara Mosif Hevel. Hatmana on Shabbos is also even if it's Eino Mosif Hevel. Can you write that down? I mean, we're going to need to hack that right in our brains, you know. The Omeri. Okay, so now we're going to have to justify why the Gemara needed the Maisa of Anshei Tveria to prove the Isur of Hatmana when it's written explicitly in the Mishnah. So if you fast forward to the end of this Tosfos, he quotes Rabbeinu Shmuel Mivardin. Fardon. So I'm not a bucky in French geography. But apparently, I think somewhere near Paris, if I remember correctly, there's some place called Verdun. David, can you research that for us?
Yeah, there was a big town there.
Yeah, called Verdun. Or Verdun, I don't know exactly how to pronounce it. And that's where this Rav Shmuel came from, Mefarej. And he interprets it. In other words, the Isra Atmona and the Dovash Mosef Hevel, I don't need Anshei Tveria because that I have in the Mishnah. Is what do we derive from Maisa Anshei Tveria? The Batla Hatmana, the Asra Afilu Lechel, Im Avar V'Taman, if he violated the Isra Hatmana, in the case of a Dabra Mosef Hevel, you're not allowed to even eat it. What does it mean, even to eat it? Ah, in other words, we're talking about bathing. And Rav Shmuel here is adding achilut. We're talking about rechitza, meaning that they, what was their goal, the Anshei Tveria? They wanted to draw cold water into the pipes and heat it up through the Chamei Tveria and then bathe in it. But the chiddush here is that they're not allowed to have any benefit from this hot water, even if it means drinking the hot water.
So why didn't they just say Isur Hana'a in any means? You can't get any benefit either drinking, bathing.
So let's go over this. The Mishnah later on says Ein Tomdin. The Mishnah is focused on the Isur Hatmana. The Mishnah doesn't address the question, well, what happens if in event you violated the Isur Hatmana? And that's what we get from our Mishnah, that you violated Isur Hatmana. Then our Mishnah tells them that, again, let's read the language of our Mishnah, Lam Ches Amid Beis. Our Mishnah tells, Kecham and Shehuchu B'Shabbos. It has the din of Maisa Shabbos. It's as if you heated it up on Shabbos. So again, you're not allowed to set up this process of Atman and Erev Shabbos that we know from the Mishnah. The Chiddush of our Anshei Tveria Maisa, and the way Rav Chisda added and derived from it, is that if you went ahead and you violated the Isur Hatmana, then not only are you enjoined from bathing in that hot water, you're not allowed to even drink the hot water. And that we wouldn't have known from the Mishnah.
Why should you want to drink hot water anyway?
Because you want to drink a hot tea. They used to like hot tea.
But the Mishnah says
drink. You don't drink hot tea, Harvey, on Shabbos? I mean, our table, our kitchen, our living room and dining room without hot tea on Shabbos, it's catastrophic. I remember once the hot water thing fell apart, I don't know, electricity went out, whatever happened, and there was no hot water to drink that Shabbos. It was duck, it fell. You know, it was like Shimshon HaGemara would have taken down the whole house, you know. So that's what they wanted to do. Now, officially, again, why were they drawing all this water into a bath through this silon, through this pipe underneath the Chamei Tveria? That was for bathing purposes. But the Chiddush here is as if you heated up the water on Shabbos and it's also even Mishtia. Like, let's say the water, again, remember the water is clean. How do I know the water is clean? Tosa says, why did they have to do this whole business? Why not just bathe in the Chamei Tveria? The answer is, it has a smell. So the water that came in through this pipe was clean. All he had to do is put a glezel underneath the pipe, you know, as it's coming out. You've had a hot steaming tea, which is great. not allowed to do. Why? Because he violated the Isur HaTumah. So again, if I would have had the Mishnah of Ein Tomnin B'Erev Shabbos B'Dorish Amosif Hevel, okay, you violated the Isur HaTumah, we're not going to allow you to bathe in the water. But as far as drinking the water, maybe that would be permissible. But the answer is Kechamin Shehuchmu B'Shabbos. The Rabbanan are upgrading this, the status of this water that was heated through a process of Hatmana B'Erev Shabbos as if it was heated on Shabbos. And if it's heated on Shabbos, it's a Hefta Nisura, which means it's prohibited for any Anah, including Shtia. So now, Rabbanan, let's go back to our Mishnah on Lamed Chesam and Beis. The Mishnah starts by presenting a machlokas between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim about told us Hachama. Correct? In a case of told us Ha'ar, that's Beitza B'tzara Mecham. Everybody agrees that's Asur. And the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that even though it's only Kedeshit Tizgalgil, he's not actually cooking the egg completely, but he cooks it enough and he starts the process of Bishul in such a way that he violates the Isur Melech as Bishul. That's universally accepted. Where's the controversy between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim? That's in the case of Sudrin. And what's Sudrin? Sudrin are cloth, or a cloth that is heated by what? By the sun. And that makes it into Toldos Hacham. The Chachamim say that we're going to prohibit Toldos Hacham. So if you want to heat up your egg in the sun, that you're allowed to do. But if you want to heat up your egg on the pavement that was heated up by the sun, the Chacham prohibited, Rav Yossi says it's mut. Where does Rav Yossi agree that Toldos Hacham is Asur? That's in the case of Chol and Avak Drachim. And here we had the Ramban yesterday. If you remember, that the Ramban says that this is not called a Dovra Mosif Hevel because the Chol is heated up by the sun during the daylight hours. When the sun sets and the beginning of nightfall, then the sand begins a process of cooling off. So the heat is in a downward motion, and therefore it's not Mosif Hevel. Therefore, the Ramban says that this Hatmana was done on Shabbos. And now we understand what the Ramban is talking about. Yesterday we didn't have a clue what the Ramban was talking about. But now we're big Chachamim, we're smart people. Because we learned the Tosus. And Tosus says that there's an Isur Hatmana on Shabbos, even if it's not a Dovra Mosif Hevel. The Chiddush of Erev Shabbos, as far as Isur Hatmana, is that it's a Dovra Mosif Hevel, and that you're not allowed to do. Here, says the Ramban, we're talking about using this Sudar, which is Toldos HaChama, on Shabbos, and that's going to be, even though it's Eino Mosif Hevel, I'm sorry, forget about the Sudar, I made a mistake. The Sudar on Shabbos according to Rabbi Yossi is Mutter because it's told the Sachama. But the Chol is considered Hatman. And even though the Ramban says it's not Mosif Hevel because the Chol cools off, nevertheless, on Shabbos itself, it's awesome. Where else do we find that as a result of a Dovra Mosif Hevel, Hatman is Asur? And the Isur is Chal even on Shabbos, that's going to be the machlokas between the Chachom and the Anshei Tver. And what is the status, I should say, of this water that was heated up on Shabbos? It's also Berechitza Ubishtir. Why? So then we saw Rav Shmuel Mifardin, because it's considered as if he cooked the water on Shabbos. And if it's considered as if he cooked the water on Shabbos because it was Hatman on Erev Shabbos B'dom Shemosef Hevel, then it's like Mayim Shehuchmu B'Shabbos, it's a Maisa Shabbos, and it's awesome. Comes along Rav Soloveitchik and he says that even if a guy were to heat up water for you on Shabbos, even if a guy were to heat up water for the guy on Shabbos, you would not be allowed to drink that water. Why not? And the answer is that when the Chachamim on Daf Mem instituted a Gzeir Misharavu HaVaryanim and they prohibited enjoying the benefit of hot water on Shabbos, they did so not only with regard to Rechitza, but even with regard to Shtiyah. And if we're going to now superimpose that Isur, or I call it graft or piggyback, maybe that's a good word, to piggyback that Isur of Misharabu Havaryonin in the entire Sugya there, Daf Mem, on top of this Mishnah of Kimayim Shehuchmu B'Shabbos, then it's going to apply, number one, even if a guy was the one who heated up the water. It would apply even if, let's say, the Jew violated the Isur Hatmana B'Shogeg, where Maisa Shabbos would not kick in, at least according to our Meir Sheet of Leon Daf Lam Tes that we learned. Lam Ches, excuse me. But the Isur of Misharabu Avaryonim, the general Isur of Mechetzos, to prohibit bathing in hot water, that's going to apply even if the water was heated B'Shogeg. So, for example, Ben was mentioning before, Shachach V'Shoha. I left an open fire and a pot on the open fire in Erev Shabbos, and the Gemara says that if it's mevushal called sarko before Shabbos, I'm allowed to eat it, and the whole 9 yards because it was b'shogeg. What happens if he violated the Isra Atmana, b'dor ha'mosif hevel on Friday Erev Shabbos before, and he was unaware of it? It was shachach.
I don't think there's any kula.
There won't be any kula. You know why? Not because of the violation of the Isra Atmana. Not because of Maisa Shabbos, but because of the overriding, overall gzera of Merchatzos, that we're not allowed to bathe in hot water. And Reb Chaim took this a step further and he said, not only are we not allowed to bathe in hot water, but we're not allowed to drink hot water that was heated on Shabbos. So in other words, Reb Bosai, it's a pella to me. If Reb Chaim would drink a glezel of tea, hot tea on Shabbos, you would have to guarantee him that the water was heated on Erev Shabbos. Do you know what that means, Rabbi Osai? Again, I'm not trying to add chumras to your Shabbos kitchen, but if Reb Chaim was in your kitchen, and if I understand this story of Petersburg correctly, Reb Chaim would insist that before 4 p.m. when Shabbos enters, the water has to be boiling hot. In other words, if you plug in your percolator 5 minutes before Shabbos, you got massive volumes of water in it, you got a serious problem.
I thought everybody did that.
Well, let's say, for example, we'll have to go through all the dinim, but let's say, for example, it was done by a guy, or let's say you did it b'shogeg, so you're not allowed to drink that water? Why not? There's no Maisa Shabbos if the guy did it for himself. There's no Maisa Shabbos if it was done b'shogeg. But now Reb Chaim wants to introduce a whole new element to the equation. Forget about Maisa Shabbos. I'm not talking about the violation of Shabbos. I'm talking about the overall, all-inclusive, absolute Issur d'Rabbanan of Merchatzos. And for some reason, which I don't understand right now, Reb Chaim understood that the Issur Merchatzos would apply even to Shtiyah. And he didn't want to drink the glass of hot water that was heated up by the guy for the sake of the guy. Why? Under the gzeirah of Merchatzos. Under the law of Maisa Shabbos, there's no Easter. The guy did it for himself. That's not called a Maisa Shabbos. The guy did it for the Jew. It's as if the Jew had commissioned the guy to heat up the water for him on Shabbos. That you're not allowed to do. But what the guy did for himself, why can't you drink the water? The answer is, it's like bathing. And you're not allowed to bathe in hot water because by virtue of this gzeirus chachamim, and therefore you're not allowed to drink the water as well. I don't know. That's what. Now, David, you're asking in general, do I have to boil all my water to the boiling point before Shabbos?
I mean, it has to be more than the ochel.
If it's Kemaychel Ben Josai, I don't know.
Mistabek Ralo, no?
Yeah, so I don't know. What would be, you're talking about, let's say, a goof and a ketuba. Why? Because, let's say I cover the, what's it called, the channel, I don't know what you call it.
Spigot?
The spigot. So if I cover that over, that makes it into a goof and a ketuba. So why can't my water just be simply be you know, be Kemaychel Ben Josoi. Again, I don't know, you have to figure out.
If there's a Karufa Kuntuma, then that makes your question even stronger. If you need the position even stronger, it doesn't even have to be heated at all. If it's Karufa Kuntuma, it can just,
right,
just be turned on, as you say, as Shabbat comes in, and it can just heat up on, under the Karufa Kuntuma.
But if
most Kumkums would be probably considered. If it's
right
in Shabbos mode, anyway.
Right. But let's say, according to Chaim, that I can't bathe in hot water, and it has nothing to do with the violation of the Isur, and I can't drink that hot water. So I'm trying to figure this all out. According to Reb Chaim, heated up the water. I don't know. Reb Osai, at this point, I'm going to need more time. You know? But Reb Osai, I think we're making progress. I'm beginning to feel a little bit more comfortable in the sugya. The trouble with this sugya is you got to know everything to know anything. You know, it's everything comes together and you got Dol Daf Mem, and then back to the Mishnah Daf Lamed Ches, and for the Mishnah Lamed Ches, the sugya of Rav Chisda Daf Lamed Tes. This Tosus, that Tosus, this Rabban. Okay, we'll stop here. Sure, what time is it? Oh, it's already after 10:30, and we'll get together tomorrow again. Amir Tzashem.
Thank you so much.
Right. So, where did swimming in cold water become such an asur thing to do? Is it worse than?
Well, the Gemara says that they asked it even sonim. Remember that? Should we go over that one more time?
Sonen,
cold.
Cool.
Right?
Oh, what was that?
That was here on Daf Mem. On the bottom of Daf Mem. And it says, you're right. So you know, the only acid. They only acid hot water. But hitiru lehem esatsone. Hitiru lehem esatsone. So what's the source for our isur of bathing in cold water?
Is it an isur? Like a minhag?
That's why I don't know. Okay? So David, I want you to write down two questions. Question number one, how was Reb Chaim able to drink tea on Shabbos? Question number two, how and why is there a prohibition of taking a bath in cold water on Shabbos? I have a feeling, I don't know how to work this out, that the problem of bathing in cold water on Shabbos is because of the towel, if you know what I mean. You're going to dry yourself with the towel, you might squeeze the towel. But here the Gemara is only talking about the rechitz itself without using a towel. Maybe at some later stage they prohibited any sort of bathing, even in cold water, because of the towel issue.
Does that sound like it's like on the same level as riding a bicycle then on Shabbat, or would that still be sort of stronger?
Or riding a horse, you might pull the thing for the...
A horse definitely out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're asking me too many good questions today.
I heard an amazing reminder question.
All right, let's stop here because... I'm trying to learn a little bit about Zomer and Tzarkli Yitzhak.
I mean, I didn't write
it.
It's
amazing. Are you kidding?